Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 203 of your favourite Formula One show. Jamie, it is 203.
It is.
We're back today to talk about the Brazilian Grand Prix. But first of all, how are we doing, sir?
I'm very happy. I don't know if you can tell.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah, go watch the race. I'm sure you've seen the result or the race. I'd be surprised if we are your only source of Formula One info, but welcome if you are. I'm very pleased. We'll get into it later, but yes,
we will. I mean, this is gonna be a long old show. There is a lot to break down.
Yes.
From what was probably the most chaotic weekend of the entire season, I think it would be safe to say.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it all kicked off though, Jamie. Obviously, we did the preview show last Friday. Thank you to everybody for listening. And obviously, Jamie famously in that video said that he reckons Kevin Magnussen should be the Perez replacement to the end of the year. And literally, as we finished up wrapping up that show, it then got confirmed that Magnussen wouldn't be racing, at least in the sprint and sprint qualifying. So Ollie Bearman was back in the car. Yes. Jamie, your curse of Formula One drivers might genuinely be like a kiss of death. Like,
yes,
closer to that than it should be. You actually bring illness to drivers.
I don't know how it happened. I mean, was it actually confirmed what K-Mag had? Or I don't think it was. It was
just a stomach bug. Yeah.
So he's probably going to be fine for 2 weeks' time in Vegas. But
3 weeks. Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Bearman back in the car. Third race of the season, which I'm sure will rile up every F2 driver who's ahead of him in the championship. But yeah, it was exactly the same as Baku. And if anything, it just gives Magnussen fewer races to accumulate 12 penalty points again. So
I don't think he's really worried at this time, is he?
No, maybe not. But yeah, unfortunately, my call to him to go to Red Bull just, yeah, cursed him with illness. It's taken Liam Lawson 3 years to undo the curse of me supporting him in F2. In 2021.
Yeah, he's finally getting there now, isn't he, at long last. I mean, we say about Magnussen and his penalty points, Jamie, of course, now, like, I mean, I'm pretty certain I saw an article saying you were linked to the seat at this point, but Magnussen now is linked to potentially going to Sauber next year, which would be the first time a driver lineup has moved teams, Jamie, since...
Ooh. It happened in Rush. So, no, did it? I don't know. I don't know. 1976 Ferrari or 75?
No.
Ah.
It's happened much more recently than that. It's happened quite a few times since that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I believe the last one.
I don't think I'll get it.
Go on, have a guess.
Can you tell me the year? I'll try and guess the team.
I'm just going to double check, make sure I've got this bang on. So it was... it was kind of 2002, I believe.
Kind of 2002, what does that
kind
mean?
Kind of 2002.
Was it like Jordan to Toyota or something?
It was Toyota.
So it was Glock. No, not Glock. I don't know. BMW to Toyota. Was it Schumacher and Trulli or something?
It was Schumacher and Olivier Panis, I believe.
Okay. I'm not sure we got that. But yeah,
but I think it might have actually been 2002 into 2003. I want to say.
Well,
but it was because Olivier Panis had moved around the year beforehand. It all got a bit confusing.
Yeah, this Sauber seat is causing headaches up and down the paddock. You know, you've got about 16 drivers who've been linked to at this point. We had confirmation from some Brazilian sources that it was going to Bortoleto. Obviously, not the case yet. Maybe is. Colapinto's in the running. Joe still thinks he's in the running. He's not. Bottas definitely is. Magnussen is in the running apparently now. Perez could be.
Jamie, are you still a Zhou Guanyu fan? That'd be interesting.
I mean, I like the guy. He's gone after these last three races.
Oh, he's just useless. What's it? He's got 8 consecutive P20
last
starts.
Place. I mean, the car is bad.
But it's not that bad anymore. Bottas made Q2.
Yeah, and Bottas isn't actually particularly good in the wet either. So that is, yeah, quite surprising.
Well, Bottas made Q2 in both sessions, didn't he? Both on sprint and real qualifying.
Yeah,
and Zhou was still last in both of them.
Which
is quite impressive.
Yeah, it's the time. It's time to go.
Would you argue that it might well now be Zhova?
It could well be Jova, yes. But I do like him. I think 3 years is a fair amount of time in the sport.
I think he's been quite lucky, would you say?
Probably. I was surprised when he got extended for this year. It's only because the Chinese Grand Prix needed a home driver.
Pretty much. Yeah, they've had one now. Zhou will be gone by the end of the year, and we'll never see Shanghai again.
That P5 in Hungary in qualifying. No point.
Remind me how the race start went again.
He had an engine issue and then took out Ricciardo.
funny. I need a good laugh out of the race we saw. But anyway, I mean, moving into the weekend though, Jamie, the circuit had actually been resurfaced in Brazil, and it made it worse, which was quite funny. They made it bumpier and less grippy, especially if it rains. Looking at the Sao Paulo weather, it was going to rain a lot as the weekend went on. Luckily, Friday qualifying would be without major issue, wouldn't it? And it was actually a fairly predictable session. You say about how bad that Sauber is now. They've actually recently made quite a leap forward to kind of being at the back of the field anymore rather than off the back of the field.
Yeah, there were a few races mid-season when they were, like, cut adrift. But I think that's more to do with the lack of confidence in the car. I remember Monaco particularly was, like, they were just trying really hard not to put it in a wall the whole time.
Well, Zhou was as far off Bottas as Bottas was pretty much off the next car, and then the next car to pole was closer, wasn't it? It was bizarre.
Yeah. So, you know, it's positive signs, and obviously I've got a vested interest in Sauber because Hülkenberg's going there.
You already do now.
Yeah, but it's done, isn't it? I mean, I don't really care how they do the rest of the season, but yeah, things are on the up. They've got Jonathan Wheatley. They've got Mattia Binotto, which I don't know if that's good or not. They've got Hülkenberg. They might have Magnussen or any of the other 10 drivers.
Or Bortoletto or Bottas or Zhou, apparently. Or Carlos Sainz is probably in the running. It's just everybody has kind of been thrown in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, going into qualifying...
Q3 was fun.
Q3 was fun. Well, I was going to say, before Q3, of course, Aston Martin, yet another weekend where they looked to be absolutely terrible. Both drivers out in Q1, alongside, obviously, Zhou, of course, Esteban Ocon and Yuki Tsunoda. But pretty much throughout qualifying, it was the Lando Norris show, wasn't it? Until right at the end of Q3, when Oscar Piastri just mugged him off on the very last run. Mm.
Yeah, Piastri did use two sets of new tyres, and Norris didn't. So he basically got two bites at it, and Norris only got one, which probably made a difference. But yeah, Piastri nabbed it really out of nowhere. The McLaren looked the fastest by a long way in the dry in qualifying trim. And they duly delivered a 1-2. But obviously for Norris, at this point in the championship, it doesn't matter really if Piastri's ahead of him or not, because Piastri will move aside. They've made that very clear. So he was probably annoyed not to get it, but he knew that as long as he was still in second behind Piastri, the win was going to be his.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly where he ended up with Charles Leclerc, Max Verstappen, Carlos Sainz, Russell Gasly and Liam Lawson as our top eight at the end of qualifying. Shout out as well, Ollie Bearman, who got into Q3 once again ahead of Nico Hülkenberg. But unfortunately, made a mistake down at turn two on his run and kind of made a bit of a mistake. That brought us, though, nicely into Saturday's sprint, though, Jamie, where, you know, we kind of wondered, obviously, Oscar Piastri, we knew, would let Lando Norris by. But even then, McLaren managed to make a hash of it, didn't they? Because Oscar defended that lead into turn one. And it was a weird little sprint race, wasn't it? Because it was quite tense, at least for me watching. Mm. But not really much ended up happening.
Yeah, I was really hoping that McLaren would make a mess of it somehow, as he would expect. So you had a good little train for the front four of Piastri, Norris, Leclerc and Max. And then eventually Verstappen got past Leclerc, but it took him most of the race to get past. And then, started putting the pressure on both McLarens, but the DRS train of Piastri kind of keeping Norris in the DRS just meant there was no way through for Verstappen. It was tense because you kind of like, Verstappen and Norris are on the same bit of track. That's always going to be fireworks, isn't it? So, and that was that really until close to the end when we kind of all knew that it was coming, that the call would come to give Piastri, to get Piastri to move aside for Norris just to gain that extra 1 point. That almost was thrown into jeopardy by a classic mechanical failure for Hülkenberg, because it's been too long since one of those. Had the FIA followed procedure, there would have been a safety car. and the McLarens wouldn't have been able to swap places, which would have been very funny.
They didn't need a safety car, did they, had they followed procedure? A VSC was fine.
Yeah, VSC was
but
fine.
But it was definitely called far too late. Like, yeah. I can say that.
The FIA waited until they did the swap, and then a quarter later put the VSC out. They knew what they were doing in that.
Which
I people say.
I love the fact that people were throwing Johnny Herbert under the bus for this, despite the fact he has no say on that matter.
Yeah, that's the race direction.
He has absolutely
that's not the
no call over that. It's Neil Wittich that calls it. And I mean, we've said it time and time again, haven't we? But Formula One is so much worse with the loss of Charlie Whiting in terms of these kind of things, isn't it? Like, with Charlie Whiting, it felt like very, very rarely was there any kind of questionability around that kind of call.
Yeah. And it's just, yeah, the amount of things that have just got worse since we lost Charlie was, yeah, a bunch of things, as I'm sure you know as a Hamilton fan.
I certainly do as a Hamilton fan, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, it probably made no difference, because had they called a VSC at the right time, then there would have just been longer to swap the McLarens at the end. So, you know, it was a moot point in the end, but it was just worth a mention that they happened
exactly.
to wait until they'd swapped and then call the VSC.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, virtual safety car. I genuinely don't think we've ever seen this before. But Max Verstappen then went under the Delta trying to jump Oscar before the VSC ended, which was just a so unnecessary 5-second penalty to pick up and a penalty point on his license.
But I keep thinking to myself, had he pulled this off, it would have been insane. It would have been class.
But why? He didn't. It was ridiculous.
But, like, he can't have been... I haven't seen the data, but he can't have been much under the Delta.
He was 6 tenths under.
That's quite a lot, actually.
That's massive.
That is quite a lot. Yeah, I could see, as in, you could tell what he was trying to do. He was trying to, like, if you remember USA 2016, when the VSC ended
the Red Bulls.
The Rosberg overtook Ricciardo on the restart by just catching him napping, basically. Max was trying to do the same thing.
That was 2015, wasn't it? Was that 2016? Yeah.
Because that's what got Rosberg into second, which was crucial for the championship at that point. I remember that very well. Yeah, Rosberg just had to finish second 4 times and he'd won it.
Oh, I thought he could finish third once.
Well, once, yeah.
Or twice.
He'd rather.
So it wasn't crucial, is what you're saying.
Well, he still won the championship. yes. You can see what he was trying to do. He misjudged it. Yeah. Also, VSC ending after turn 4 was a bit... I don't want to say conspiracy, but, you know.
But no, because they've got a countdown procedure for it, haven't they?
They have.
It's got to be... this is the thing, obviously, people don't understand why VSCs aren't... I cannot stress to Formula 1 fans enough, if you think that they should just be able to pull the trigger instantly, watch any NASCAR race ever. Because the amount of times they pull the trigger and it turns out to be a nothing incident, that then they have to restart and lose laps and everything else is so beyond stupid. Check out, I think it was the 2022... what's it called? The Race for $1 Million. I can't remember the name of it now off the top of my
That's
head.
That's catchy.
It is. It was called, I think, the... What is it? The Clash, I want to say? No, not The Clash. I can't remember.
That's
but...
a band, isn't it? That's a rock band in the 70s.
No, they do have a NASCAR race called The Clash as well at the start of the year, but I can't remember what this one is. It's like their Race of Champions, basically, that they host each season, and it's not special anymore. It's so stupid. But yeah, the 2022 Busch race, or whatever. Not Busch race. I can't remember what it's called. But someone on... No, because Busch was the name of the second series for a long time, Jamie. You don't know
okay.
what I mean either.
I've switched off as soon as you mentioned NASCAR, to be honest. I'm just laughing at you.
Yeah,
struggling.
Well, exactly. I just can't remember the name of it. But anyway, Lando Norris would take the sprint win ahead of Oscar Piastri. Charles Leclerc, after Max's penalty, beat out Carlos, George, Pierre, and Perez, who got the jump on Lawson. Otherwise, nothing happened. Nothing changed. Our top seven were exactly as they started, which is, I think, arguably the worst...
The McLaren switched around.
Oh, well, yeah, but we knew that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah,
so
the third
top
and fourth
seven
switched around,
unchanged.
Then switched back.
Exactly, so it didn't matter. But then, obviously, after the sprint, Jamie, all the talk heading into the afternoon, which, again, we've said so many times, haven't we, about kind of Formula One procedure. We all knew that, you know, qualifying wasn't going to get underway on Saturday afternoon, and yet still they mill around for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just kind of delaying it by 15 minutes over and over and over. But it did mean that we ended up with a Sunday qualifying.
Which is always quite fun.
Well, fun fact, every Sunday qualifying session prior to now was ended up being pole by a German. So as Hülkenberg being the only German on the grid, it was locked in.
It was guaranteed. A qualifying session in the wet at Brazil. Hulk in a midfield car. You know it's written in the stars.
And but, where did he end up?
P18?
He was out in Q1.
Not great. The Haas, yeah, Haas didn't really show up this weekend, unfortunately. Maybe Magnussen is the team leader and Hülkenberg's rubbish.
He is.
But,
he is.
Yeah.
We've always known this.
Clipped up.
You know full well that's going to be the clip that goes live in a couple of days.
Yeah, great.
I love it. But I mean, yeah, obviously it was still a lot of rain come Sunday morning, wasn't it? So it was going to be really tricky. Especially, Jamie, this is the first time ever I've seen them bring forward a race because they were worried about rain in the afternoon.
Yeah, I did quite like the proactivity, but yeah, they knew there was rain on its way later in the evening, and also, as expected, you're going to get red flags, and you're going to get safety car periods, and apparently aborted starts, and drivers driving into gravel traps and whatever, so it was quite clever to move it forward, just so the 3-hour period they had was able to be done without the sky going completely black, because if they started the race at, was it meant to be 4:30 or 4 UK time?
Five UK.
It would have been dark immediately, wouldn't it, if they'd tried to start it at 5. There's no way they could have got it done by that late. But yeah, it was quite a good move and meant I could watch it, so that was nice.
The most important element.
Exactly.
I mean, let's just rattle through qualifying, shall we, Jamie, between who got knocked out and who brought out a red flag. First of all, Franco Colapinto binned it at turn 3, like pretty much everybody did at the 2003 Brazilian Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes again forcing Lewis to have these useless upgrades. So he goes out in Q1. Exactly. Alongside Colapinto, Behrmann, Hülkenberg, and of course our resident P20 driver, Jamie.
Joke on you.
Thank you.
I'll put a bet on
there we go.
For honour only. Joe will not be last in Vegas qualifying. How about that?
Are you going to put money on that, are you?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I wanted to see you put your money where your mouth is.
Bet responsibly.
Q2, Carlos Sainz then binned it, so we get another red flag out. Stroll then bins it right at the end of the session, and again, get your Tim Falls hat out, because
I overreacted at this.
You did, completely. Because Max Verstappen was in P10, Stroll bins it. Genuinely, within the next second, Charles Leclerc goes and knocks Max into the drop zone, and then the red flag gets called, and everyone's saying, oh, it's a conspiracy.
You've forgotten about the 45 seconds they waited.
Yeah, but it made no difference.
Make no difference, but...
Exactly.
It was still annoying that they just changed their procedure to let everyone do their laps.
No, they followed procedure, Jamie. They had to assess
but
the situation.
But every other crash...
Yeah, because Lance Stroll's crash didn't bring out a need for the medical car. That's why. That's why the red flag was called instantly. If there's a big enough G-force...
So Colapinto's did, and Stroll
yes,
didn't.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
Wow.
That is genuinely the reason. Because obviously they've got all these sensors in the helmet and things like that. If it's a big enough G-force crash that the driver's head sustains, medical car is called instantly, so it is instantly red flagged. If not, then they kind of have a tea party before they decide to do it. Again, it was a bit dumb.
That they waited 45 seconds to everyone to do their laps. Who was ahead of the other flag?
Honestly, what I think they were trying to do was avoid there being a mad dash where only one car gets a lap in afterwards.
Because there was about 1:40 left, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And had they red flagged it when they should have done immediately, or like after 5 seconds or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Max would have been P11, but there would have been 1:40 left to go and do a lap. And there would have been an absolute car crash in the pit exit, or like Norris would have got there and just gone really slowly through the pit exit or something.
Lando and Oscar line up side by side.
It's like the top of the Alfa Romeo challenge.
Exactly.
So it was common sense, but it was annoying. I'll give it that.
Well, you should have seen Jamie on the Twitter DMs, ladies and gents. The amount of abuse he was throwing towards...
I wouldn't say abuse.
Oh no, it was verbal abuse. It was some truly disgusting stuff that he wrote.
I was just stressed because I was like, right, Max is 17th, Norris is going to get pole, and Norris also was very lucky not to go out in Q1, by the way. So I was like,
but to be fair, there was no conspiracy in that.
No, it was just rubbish. He got away with it.
Pretty much, exactly.
And yeah, for me going from Norris is going to be P16 and Max is going to be out on pole 5 minutes later, being Norris is
17th, the opposite.
Max is 17th. Norris is going to get pole. It was a roller coaster, and this is just Sunday morning. So
exactly, we haven't even got to the race yet, and already it's been a weekend of emotion, hasn't it? But anyway, yeah, Max out in Q2 alongside Bottas, Perez, Sainz, and Gasly. Q3, I mean, it was just going to be one of those sessions, wasn't it, Jamie, where you try and circulate as best as you can until Fernando Alonso obviously goes out and pins it. 400 races and he still can't keep it on the road.
401.
Shocking. 401 Grand Prix.
Yes, that was unfortunate. It was a driver error, he said it straight away. And that meant two Aston Martins needed a big repair job in the 3 hours between quali and race.
Wild.
Yeah. Under that red flag, you had Norris on pole from Alex Albon in the Williams, who'd done a good job to get to Q3. And that's where it ended, because he then binned it really badly at turn one, and then blamed the brakes, which it definitely wasn't. It was a driver error.
It did look a bit odd on the onboard originally. You were like, oh, that could have been a part failure.
But he stuck the wheel on the white line. So
exactly. He was just stupid by Albon. So that meant we had our fifth red flag of qualifying. It was taking far longer than anyone had hoped. And, of course, the worst bit, for example, if you're Colapinto that's been in Q1, all these red flags, the team aren't allowed your car back until qualifying's ended. So you had, obviously, Colapinto and Stroll as well as Sainz. But obviously, those teams are just there watching the clock tick by, knowing they're just getting less and less time to repair the cars.
Quali was an hour 45 minutes in the end, which is as longer than a normal Grand Prix in the dry.
Yeah exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but that left us with 7 cars, because both Aston Martins actually got to Q3 by virtue of red flags. And only 7 left, and it left us with Lando Norris taking pole position ahead of George Russell. There was a 10-second period where I was cheering on George Russell and it felt dirty and I hated it. sadly he couldn't beat out Norris.
I was cheering Yuki Tsunoda.
I thought Yuki could do it as well.
Look at one point like he was going to claim pole. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case. But P3 was still a brilliant thing for him.
And the height difference on the photo. Did you see that?
Oh, it was incredible. Incredible. You've got short, kind of short, and very short.
Very Ocon tall, in fourth.
Well, yeah. No, tall, then quite short. Yeah. Very short. Sorry. Ocon, in fourth ahead of Lawson. So V-Carb, third and fifth, was brilliant for them. And I'm sure Helmut Marko came down and said, whichever one of you takes out Lando at turn one, you're getting that Red Bull seat next year. Leclerc, again, in kind of weird Leclerc fashion, when you think there's a big opportunity to deliver in qualifying, Leclerc then suddenly doesn't really show up. Ended up down in sixth, head of...
You forgot about
Alonso.
Piastri.
I forgotten about Piastri. He was just behind Leclerc.
He messed up turn one and was off that Stroll.
He did, made a bit of an error. But Jamie, that brought us to the race. And before that even started, there was more chaos.
Yes. Sir Lancelot, your favourite Canadian on the grid these days, managed to do a classic Lance Stroll move and crash on a formation lap. And not only that, because it wasn't a terrible crash, he definitely was able to bring it back.
Car was fine.
With a new front wing. He drove straight into the gravel trap for no reason at all. He had plenty of space to avoid it and beaches himself in the gravel on the formation lap. What is that? I don't know what Lawrence Stroll sees in his son. Obviously, he loves his son, I'd imagine. Well, clearly loves him enough to buy him a Formula One team. But, surely... at some point, you've just got to pull the trigger and get him gone.
Oh, I thought you meant taking him around the back barn and actually shooting in the back of the head.
This isn't Of Mice and Men, don't we?
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, to be fair, I reckon Lenny could drive a better Formula One car probably better than Lance can most of the time. It just beyond belief, isn't it? This is a man with 8 years of Formula One experience. And
he's
in
the top
still...
half of experience on the grid now, surely.
Oh, comfortably, yeah. And you think, George Russell, Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, Esteban Ocon, Pierre Gasly, I'm probably forgetting
Alex
more,
Alvin.
Have come into the sport since then and won Grand Prix in the time that Lance Stroll is still stinking the place up. Like, there's not a chance he would have even... I doubt he would have made it to Formula One. Like, obviously, if you talk about just hypotheticals of, the backing and everything, if he'd had a standard amount of backing, he would have never made it. He might have got 1 year with Williams with decent backing.
Yeah.
But the utterly insane amount of money keeps him here, and I hate it.
when he was part of the FDA, the Ferrari Driver Academy, he was like on a level with the likes of Antonio Fuoco and Robert Schwartzman was a bit earlier, but like, a bit later, sorry. But yeah, you think
and
those kind
forget,
of drivers.
Jamie, in GP3, when he was going up against those guys, there were team orders. They were genuinely in a junior Formula series. There's a footage that's come out again that's done the rounds recently. Opening round, Paul Ricard and his teammate lets him by on lap 2 of the season. That's how bad, exactly. Like, and how tainted even his... You know, people go, oh, well, he dominated Euro Formula 3 and everything. You go, no, well, he didn't really, did he? He was just handed it. It's so stupid. I hate it. And he needs to be gone. Genuinely, would he get a super license?
Yeah. I think if... Yeah, he's got a pole position. He's not, like, the worst driver ever. But
I could get a pole position with 8 years in the sport. You've given enough time, anyone can. I'm sorry. Yeah, you just need everything to go the right way once.
Yeah, and that's what happened in Turkey 2020. So
exactly.
Yeah, he should not be on the grid anymore. And actually, once we get all these new wave of drivers next year, he's probably back in the bottom two or three on the grid, isn't he? I mean, he's probably there now.
He's pretty much there. Right? I mean, who would you say is worse than Stroll right now? Joe. You make the argument of Joe, which is quite hilarious. I mean, you're throwing him under the bus.
Well, it's honesty, isn't it? We know wheel here, and I've got to put mind over heart here.
You don't normally, Mr. whatever the podcast was earlier on in the week. Horrendous takes. But anyway, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I reckon this was actually a 200 IQ play by Lance Stroll, because he knew he was going to bin it in the race, so he thought, I'm just going to beat shit, not bother. Which is probably a wise thing for the budget cap down at Aston Martin. And you've got to think, out of all of this, imagine being Aston Martin in the crew. You've just spent 2.5 of the most difficult hours of your life getting that car ready. For him to do that before it's even started, I would be handing in my notice immediately.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. Them and Williams both had massive repair jobs. We also forgot to mention, Albon didn't start because... Yeah, his car couldn't be repaired. But Williams and Aston had two cars to repair. Aston managed it, and then one of them's out on a formation lap. Terrible.
Shocking.
Absolutely terrible.
Shocking. Talk us through the actual... Well, we then had even more controversy before the race started, didn't
the
we,
actual
Jamie?
Race
somehow.
Start. You had a big... Obviously, cars out on a formation lap. Naturally, that leads to an aborted start, which generally has an extra formation lap to give the marshals time to clear the car that's beached or stuck wherever. The aborted start thing comes up on the five red lights, and there's no green light, it's just yellows. And Lando Norris, who's very inexperienced in this kind of situation, would not know the procedure and just drive off when he wasn't allowed to, and there's marshals on track, which is very dangerous at turn four. And then about half the grid follows him. Max Verstappen, as he has studied those rules to a T, knows all of the procedures and all of the driving standards that you can get away with. So... knows back in P17 that he shouldn't leave the grid, and he doesn't leave the grid, along with maybe four or five others who know the rules.
Giampiero Lambiassi also told him, by the way.
Well, you know, I'm not going to pretend I didn't hear that. And yeah, so Norris has caused a lot of the grid to just not follow procedure. But at the time, I thought he'd probably get away with it, and he did.
I think it was one of those ones, if it had only been him that went, probably a penalty. Because so many cars went... It's one of those things, isn't it, Formula 1, occasionally, where they go, so many people did this thing that we can't have like half the grid with 10-second penalties or something.
Yeah. What was the race in the 90s where everyone jumped the start?
Was Nürburgring 1999.
Oh, 99, where the lights had a failure, so eventually...
No, they did it on purpose to see who had the trick. Yeah.
Oh, because it was a set amount of seconds, wasn't it, every time or something? So there was one race.
It was the anti-static on the lights, basically. Teams had learned to... No, it was a radio signal then. That was the early 2000s, it was anti-static. So some of the teams had worked out
the frequency
signal for it. Yeah, so obviously you could time it perfectly. So they aborted the start, six cars jumped in.
Yeah, very funny. But I think they all got penalties that day, but then that's a pure jump start, so you can't really get away with that. But yeah, that led to an abandoned start completely. Like, the start procedure was done, and they waited another 15 minutes to sort everything out. I thought Stroll maybe could have rejoined at this point, but maybe he didn't want to. And,
no, you're not allowed, because obviously outside assistance.
Oh, outside assistance. We'll get onto that later.
Yeah, exactly. We will. That is hilarious.
Yeah, but eventually, 20 minutes later than it planned, the race gets away with, what, 3 cars missing? Yeah, no Albon, no Stroll.
No Stroll.
That was it.
That was it, though. Yeah, it was only 2.
Yeah, so the race starts, and immediately Lando Norris does his best Lando Norris impression and loses the place to George Russell off the line, which was the start of his downfall, really, because had he kept the lead, he would have just driven off. But, yeah, didn't get a good start. Russell's clear by the time he even gets to the braking zone at Turn 1. And, Russell takes the lead in the car which Lewis Hamilton qualified in P16.
It wasn't the same car, but yeah. See, it's got the same sticker on it. That's about the only part those two cars share at this point.
Yeah, Liam Lawson tried to be the big man down the outside of Turn 1, but didn't come off for him. And he lost the place then to Piastri or Leclerc? I think it's Leclerc.
Leclerc it was.
But you had Tsunoda settling into 3rd, Ocon in 4th, and then, Leclerc, Lawson, and Piastri. Verstappen has, just absolutely bossed it. He's doing a Senna 93 at Donington and just overtaking everyone for fun. And
he did get about around 6 cars, wasn't it? Just where everyone concentrated up on the inside line. And
you know,
just kind of put himself in the right spot.
Some call it luck, as Lando Norris did. Some call it talent, you know. So
it made me laugh that Lando called it luck and then said something else in the interview later on that completely contradicted that, which did make me chuckle.
I love the quote. I'm going to rinse that for the rest of time.
It is quite funny, isn't it? I mean, I can laugh at that because I'm not a Lando Norris fan. But I think, again, by the end of the weekend, he's kind of let his true character out once more.
He's very salty.
But that's something to talk about a bit later on,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Because, obviously, it seemed like early on... Perez went for a spin on lap one because, of course, he's Sergio Perez and was lucky not to immediately beach his car. But it was pretty much, obviously, with the exception of Max going for dive bombs at turn one, because no one else seemed to learn that the circuit's cambered to the inside there, as if it's something you can actually do. These cars, Jamie, can we just say, in full wet races without DRS, are useless. They cannot race. Genuinely, though, isn't it?
It's a very equal field. It's basically karting, because all of the downforce, all of the grip in these cars that differentiates the car performance is all through the ground effect. So in the wet, you have to have a much bigger ride height, otherwise you'll just spin and aquaplane everywhere. So once you raise the ride height, the cars are pretty much like stock.
The old generation of cars, worse.
So that's why you get the likes of you had Tsunoda and Ocon 3rd and 4th, and the Ferrari and the McLaren behind them couldn't overtake. Which I don't mind once in a while, to be honest, but... Yeah.
No, you just say that because Max won. If Max was down
but
in P14, you'd be whining about it beyond belief.
The one driver who could overtake, because he's very, very skilled in the wet and highly talented, was Max Verstappen, because he had control of his car and very, very high level of skill required to make overtakes, which nobody else was really making consistent overtakes. Obviously, there are a few, but Verstappen went from 17th.
He was the only one that was actually making overtakes rather than waiting for cars to make mistakes, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was the big thing.
And he was also
helped out on a couple of occasions. Like, Alonso put up exactly no fight for some reason, because Alonso never does with Max.
Did anyone?
Also, obviously, Lawson as well, just literally let him by at Ferradura, which was quite funny.
Let me remind you, Norris's one overtake was on Piastri, who let him by as well.
He overtook George.
He did overtake Russell as well. He did.
Exactly. Thank you very much. But I mean, yeah, obviously all the radio early on, I mean, it was just a case of try and stay on the island. There's going to be more rain at about lap 30, wasn't it? Before that, Oscar Piastri decided he'd just take out Liam Lawson. In this Red Bull versus McLaren feud, he thought he'd get his own back. Australia versus New Zealand and all that. It was just not good.
It was really, it shows how good Max was to make dive bombs into turn one, because Piastri's not an idiot and he really messed that one up.
he made a hash of that completely. Not as bad as a hash that was Hulkenberg would make just one lap later, though, didn't he, Jamie?
Yes.
Because that was pretty bad.
Yeah, he did an Albon, but without hitting the wall. All he did instead was get stuck on a drain pipe.
More iconic duo than Hulkenberg and binning it at turn one in Brazil. I'll wait.
Yeah. At least he wasn't on for the win this time. I'll say that. But it was, I will say, how on earth he's got beached there is really unlucky.
It's quite impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously the marshals thought they'd done something by pushing him off the drain, and all they'd done is get him a black flag. So...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was damned if he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. I do rate it that Hulk just tried to carry on as if no one had noticed, and then when they told him on the radio he got black flagged, he was like, "Yeah."
Which I've already told you this before, but is the first disqualification since who?
It's not the first disqualification. The first black
flag. The first in-race disqualification, yeah.
Since Fizzy in 07.
Giancarlo Fisichella, the OG, one of your other favourites.
There he is. I've got a picture of him behind me. So I've got both of them, actually. The two most recent black flags, both on my over my right shoulder. How about that?
All it takes now is for Joe Guanyu to get one, and I would genuinely think you have cursed them all, which is quite good.
I will say Massa also got a black flag that race. So
he did.
And he's not
he
on
did.
My wall.
No, he's not, to be fair. but yeah, that then meant, obviously, yeah, Hülkenberg obviously binned it, got beached. So a lot of drivers then, obviously, we were getting more rain, weren't we? So drivers decided they were going to come in for new intermediates. Sergio Perez goes to full wet. And then, I mean, it's starting to rain more and more, but everybody is staying on the island until they bring out the safety car because it's raining for some reason.
Mm.
Despite the fact
that
no
one's
been there.
It was pretty
torrential. But no one's
been there. The visibility was awful.
No one's been there. No one's made a mistake. They just, the FIA again, just worrying for the sake of worrying. That obviously then means that everybody's tire temperature drops, and then Colin Pinto goes and stacks it because he's got no re-attempts. And that then brings out the red flag. So we've gone from needing nothing to a red flag because, again, of FIA incompetence.
I genuinely think if they hadn't thrown a safety car, also under the VSC, both Russell and Norris pit, and that dropped them down to fourth and fifth.
It did.
And you had the two Alpines, Ocon and Verstappen and Gasly. Not all of them drive Alpines, but they were the top three because they were gambling on a red flag because the weather was torrential. It was really bad. And had they not thrown a safety car out, I do think someone would have stacked it anyway. So they didn't really... I don't think the safety car made much difference. Someone would have stacked it out of Jinsao anyway. So,
no one had binned it yet. We had no Lance Stroll in the Grand Prix.
But it was about to happen.
No, I don't think
they
it
didn't
was.
Throw it.
I think you're just saying this now because it worked out for Max.
I will say it was worth a gamble. In those conditions at that track, there's always going to be a big crash. Like, look at 03. Look at 2016.
20 years ago.
how many races have we had at Brazil? 2012, there was... If Duresta crashes like he did then, nowadays, that's a red flag.
I said he didn't bring out a red flag then.
No, but it would do now because we've gone soft. So,
exactly. It's so stupid. The fact there's been more red flags in the 2020s than there's been in any entire decade prior is alarming. There's more decades since 2020 than I think there was until... It's something mad, like 1982 or something.
Yeah, but to be fair, they did used to have drivers dying and they just would carry on. So it doesn't only show that we've gone soft. There has been a bit of forward momentum in the safety of Formula One these days.
Yeah, but silly. I mean, it does bring the bigger question, though, doesn't it, Jamie, of because we get so many red flags nowadays, and I think your opinion is going to be slightly swung because it benefited you this time round. Genuinely, do we think now that under red flags you shouldn't be allowed to change tyres? Do we think it should be cars can't be touched?
I will use a case study here of the 2011 Monaco Grand Prix.
Oh, here we go.
Because they basically, it was an unprecedented event basically back then because it was a dry race. And the Pirelli tyres meant the tyres actually mattered this year. And you had Vettel, Alonso, Button, and Vettel was on super old tyres. Alonso and Button are behind on fresher tyres, and they were like, he shouldn't be able to change tyres because that rule was only brought in when it was red flagged due to rain. And then back then, if a race restarted under a safety car, everyone was mandated to go on wet tyres, which meant you've got to allow the change of tyres because someone could still be on inters when the red flag came out. That is then caused a loophole, which they haven't bothered plugging, which means you can change tyres under a red flag. I don't massively like it, but that's the rules. It might change at the end of the season now that it's actually quite often has caused stuff and people have started gambling.
It ruined Monaco this year, didn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Because obviously it meant the only interesting thing of a Monaco Grand Prix is the strategy, and that was thrown out instantly.
Yeah, yeah. And also Saudi 21, wasn't it, when Verstappen gambled on a massive red flag when Schumacher tore his car in half for the fourth time that season. And then jumped both Mercedes, didn't he, because of the red flag. So with the rules they have, it makes sense to gamble on that kind of thing, but I don't love it, and it doesn't feel like, you know, it does benefit drivers kind of out of nowhere.
But it kind of, it's also that thing, I think it worked for so long because we weren't getting a red flag every four Grand Prix or something. Yeah. The problem is now, obviously, it's okay if red flags now are going to be a bigger part of the sport. And unfortunately, as we've both said before, a lot of the time, sadly now, that's more for the entertainment than it is for the actual safety, which is a bit of an issue of itself, which we've ranted about many times. But it's kind of getting to the point now, isn't it, where it's just ending up leading to some quite ridiculous scenarios that were never kind of really thought about in the first place.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you look at Australia 16, wasn't it, when Grosjean went from last to first in a Haas, or not, last to sixth in a Haas, sorry, just by not making a pit stop, and then a red flag came out, and it just handed him a P6.
Yeah. I think the problem is people shouldn't be banking on it, I think is the issue, isn't it?
And the ability to gamble on a red flag just feels a bit off, because, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially now as we get so many safety cars that lead then to red flags, isn't it, is the other issue.
I didn't mind it this time.
I know you didn't. I can completely understand it, obviously, when conditions change. Like, if you're then going to mandate that every... Say, for example, they get a red flag, there's a huge rainstorm. You then say everybody, has to go full wets or something like that.
Yeah.
That is... I can understand.
And that's why the rule is there, because that's all they thought red flags would be for. Because back then, red flags for crashes didn't really happen.
No, but again, obviously, Formula One now is... too ridiculous. Yeah. And
they need to update the rules, basically.
They do, again, a bit like obviously when we saw with Spa 2021, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that then meant that obviously the French and the Dutch were absolutely carried by the red flag. And
Verstappen put a bit of work in himself.
Sorry,
well.
Did your voice want to break any higher, Jamie? Do you want your voice to
not here for you claiming it's luck like Lando Norris did, because Verstappen
that was luck.
Well, he played the odds and it came through.
Right, okay. I mean, let's just say you were talking about it being all rigged up to that point of the weekend and now suddenly it's all fair again.
Exactly.
But I mean, we said obviously earlier on about how bad the cars are in the rain. The next 10 laps showcases how bad that case is when Verstappen, as championship leader, cannot get around an Alpine that is ninth in terms of performance. That goes
Ocon
to show just how
gapping.
Bad these cars are in the rain.
Ocon was gaffing on his first restart.
Exactly.
How
stupid
more to
do is that?
But that's wet races for you. You know, Fisichella won it in 03 in a Jordan, which scored like one more point the rest of the season.
It did nothing for the rest of the year, did it? It's quite funny. And it didn't even cost Kimi Räikkönen the world title then, which is probably even more mad, because Kimi and Michael would have been tied on points.
But I don't know. If you had the fastest cars winning every race, the sport would be boring. So...
Jimmy, that's been the sport for 75 years.
Yeah, but you need a bit of jeopardy sometimes. Like,
yeah, but it's more than the idea that it was because these cars are terrible in the wet is the bigger issue here. Like,
well,
if Alpine had gambled
driving
it
pretty well.
Well, right, okay. but yeah, I mean, we see obviously Lando then bottle it again. That's number two of the day for those keeping count.
Yep.
And George Russell will go straight back past
him. Turn four, wasn't it?
Yep, Ollie Bearman would then make a mistake on lap 36, but keep going. Carlos Sainz then, lap 39, nice rally pedigree, mate. goes and bins it out of turn 7, wasn't it, Ferradura, and finds the barrier. And that meant this time around we'd only get a safety car rather than a red flag.
Well, that was, you can't argue that needed a red flag, can you?
I can and I will.
Colin Pinto
they brought
spilling
out,
oil
brought out
onto the track.
They brought out safety car for nothing earlier on, this should be a red flag now.
Great. Right, that's...
To be honest, my require for a red flag restart there and a standing start is more to just watch the French get screwed than Max, necessarily.
It was definitely a safety car only, and that's exactly what we got. And it causes another restart where Verstappen has another chance to overtake Esteban Ocon, which who would have seen that coming before the race?
Wow.
But yeah, this time he actually manages it with a dive bomb at turn one. Ocon looked like he was... clear, and then Verstappen just is like, nah, I'm gonna brake really late and stop the car still. Just yeah,
Ocon was absolutely told you have to bring this car home. Like they said for Alpine, this ended up turning into a $50 million race.
Yeah.
Which is insane when
crazy
you think about
them.
It like that.
And it might have saved our preseason predictions, because I think we both put them quite high up.
Probably P6 or P7. Yes. Well, what it might have done as well is saved some French jobs, which is quite important.
Yeah, although they're still closing.
Exactly. But it was, I mean, to be fair, after that, Jamie, nothing happened.
Wait, you've missed the Norris bottle on the restart as well.
Oh, but yeah, sorry, Norris did bottle it as well.
Number three.
As you get this shot of Max going past Esteban, you get this shot of Norris going off. And that right there was world title over.
Dropping from P4 to P7.
Exactly. Terrible.
Yeah. Leclerc messed up and Russell picked up another place.
He did.
And then
did.
That was, Verstappen just drove off. He showed what Norris would have done if he hadn't bottled the start of the race.
Or again and again and again.
Yes, yeah. And Piastri had this 10-second penalty hanging over his head, so gave the position to Norris, which made sense championship-wise and race-wise. But that dropped him behind Tsunoda, who I feel very bad for, because he finished,
deserve a podium. Yeah, I really was.
He was driving
really...
well enough for the podium, wasn't he? But
he was that one driver this weekend that deserved the fairy tale story of a podium, not Ocon and Gasly.
I quite like Gasly, which is quite sad. I don't mind it.
I know you like Gasly, but
the second podium at Brazil, we take those.
Wild.
Max won the race by 20 seconds after starting 17th. One of the greatest performances of all time.
Well, it brings us on to our quiz, Jamie. I'm going to segue there beautifully. Because it's only the sixth time ever a driver has won from 17th or below, which is impressive in itself.
Okay.
That's not going to be your quiz today.
I saw a tweet about that. I was going to get all of them.
No, that's not your quiz today. Do you remember the last time someone won from 17th or below?
Raikkonen, was it not?
It was Kimi Raikkonen.
Suzuka 05.
It was the 2005 Japanese Grand Prix. Jamie, your quiz today, you got no time limit. You've got to name me the 16 drivers that started ahead of it, but you get one wrong, it's over.
Ooh, that's quite hard, actually.
It's going to put a bit of jeopardy.
Okay.
Mainly because I'm salty about Max winning, so I'm giving
you
a
quiz.
So
you want to remind
me
that Fisichella lost a race on the last lap by being a mug? Yep.
Yep, that is true.
Trulli was on pole in the Toyota. Wait, no, he wasn't. Ralf Schumacher was on pole.
That's one.
No, wait. One of them was on pole. It was a Toyota for sure. It was Ralf Schumacher, wasn't it?
Well, you got to give me your answer.
Okay, right. Ralf Schumacher, Fisichella, Button.
That's two. Three.
Sato.
Four.
05. Robert Dornbos.
Five. A very odd one to go with, but Jamie always remembers him for his marital aids.
Sure. Thing is, Alonso and Schumacher were like down there with Raikkonen, so I don't want to say either of them in case they were behind. They did reverse race finishing order from the previous race because 05 was wild for qualifying formats. Who was even good? If I say a driver that wasn't on the grid that year, does that end it as well?
Yes.
Okay.
You've just got to give me the 16 names that were ahead of Kimi Raikkonen on that grid.
16 drivers.
You've got five so far.
05. Barrichello.
Yes, six.
Villeneuve.
Yes, seven.
Webber.
Yes, eight.
I'm not getting all of these. Klien?
Yes, nine.
There was a big crash on that one. I can't remember who that was now. I want to say Nick Heidfeld.
10? Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Was he on the grid?
No, you're done. It's over.
Oh,
Heidfeld was not on the grid.
That's the one I thought earlier that I asked the question about. Did Alonso and Schumacher start behind? I know they were close.
No, they were ahead of him.
Oh, they were ahead?
You almost bottled it instantly when you said Jarno Trulli.
Was he not on the grid?
He started 19th.
I knew it was a Toyota on pole.
It was a Toyota because they just beat out BIR Honda, which was the almighty Japanese battle. Which is quite funny. You had Schumacher, Button, Fisichella, Klien, Sato. I love the fact, as always, you forgot David Coulthard. No matter what quiz we do, you always forget DC. Webber, Villeneuve, Barrichello. Staggered you didn't say Massa. Nairain Carter-Kane qualified 12th. Hey, why?
I mean, he wasn't in a Ferrari, was he?
No, he was at Sauber.
Oh, okay. I thought he had a year out.
That was before this. 2004, right, okay. I believe. Pizzonia, Albers, Schumacher, Dornbos, and Alonso were all your answers there.
Right.
Juan Pablo Montoya, Yano Trulli, and Thiago Montero were the three behind. That were behind him on the grid.
Fair enough. Well, 10 out of 18, I'll take that. 10 out of 16.
It was
8.
It was 8 out of 16.
Oh, well, 50%. I'll take that.
I mean, yeah, so like we said, Max takes the win. Esteban and Pierre, obviously, a double podium for Alpine means they go from 9th to 6th in the Constructors.
In the
although, Jamie and I spoke about this pre-show. We genuinely reckon either Haas or VCarb, but probably not both, will get ahead of them again by the end of the year, which would be quite good.
Yeah,
maybe because we just
so.
Don't like the French.
I quite like Gasly. I do like... I like to see... The problem is, I'm a bit of a wet wipe, so I quite like seeing all the teams have a result like this.
Yeah, there's an element of that, isn't there, sometimes? You like to see, you kind of like those storybook results, as long as it's not Max winning, which unfortunately it was, so therefore I dislike it.
Yeah, so looking at the constructors, Alpine are on 49. How many of that came here?
33.
And two in the sprint, so 35.
Yep.
So Haas are 3 points behind, and RB are another 2 points behind Haas. So that's going to be a good battle to watch.
It is going to be. Generally, the ones I actually feel sorry for here is Williams, because they've been absolutely screwed over this.
Though they don't really deserve much more than 8th, so...
Yeah, but they deserve to be ahead of Alpine.
Well, Alpine executed one race weekend. That's Formula 1, isn't it? That's the business.
For God's sake.
That's why Jordan didn't beat Minardi. No, did they? Jordan did beat Minardi in 2005, purely because of Indianapolis.
Yep. They've ruined Paul Stoddart's career.
They have. We love Paul Stoddart. What a guy.
We do. Obviously, Pierre on the podium. George Russell fourth. Pretty decent race, actually, by George in the end. Beats out Leclerc. Norris,
given that
Oscar.
Apparently that car is the worst car on the grid in Lewis's hand.
Well, no, Hamilton's car is. And still, Lewis got a point behind both V-cars, which genuinely, I've got no idea how he managed. Because I reckon you could have put him in that MP4-5, which sounded like... the greatest thing ever when he went out. That was genuinely special Sunday morning. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't watch it, but it was quite cool.
It was genuine. Like, hearing the crowd cheering Senna as well was a really, really special moment.
One thing on the crowd, did you see when Stroll put it in the gravel on the
Stroll
formation
binned
app?
It, yeah.
They were all chanting Drogovic.
Which is quite impressive. But, I mean, yeah, what would you rate that race, Jamie? I mean, the whole weekend was. It genuinely left me feeling exhausted by the end of it. It was chaos.
Oh, it was a rollercoaster of emotions.
What
was
that? 9 red flags over the course of the week? 8 red flags?
Something
7
like
red
that.
Flags? Something stupid, wasn't it?
I've got to put it quite hard. I really, really enjoyed the race. Obviously, it's going to be determined by whether you're a Max fan or not, because it's basically determined the championship. Which,
It has
I tell you, the rest of the day, and even today, I was just really happy. I was just like, get in.
I wasn't.
No more doubts over the championship.
So
I'll go for an 8.
I'm gonna
really
say I gave Mexico a 6.5, so technically I should give this a 4. like we said, actually a lot of the Grand Prix was pretty boring. I'm gonna give it a 7, I think. A lot of the Grand Prix was actually pretty dull. Like the final
I was just
pretty much
reveling in Max's ability at gapping everyone.
Well, he gapped Esteban Ocon. It's not
well,
that
and no one else
Ocon
had the skill to pass
beforehand.
Anyone. Max
yeah, because
passed
no one could get
grid.
Within 2 seconds of each other because the cars
well,
are stupid.
Drive faster. Max managed it.
Yeah, because he had no Esteban Ocon in front of him.
No, but at the start of the race.
I hate it. Well, I mean,
Max
it doesn't mean
one.
No one has made Q3 every race this year, which is good.
Yeah, that's quite fun. But
I can't wait for Max to wrap it up in Qatar sprint again. That's what I want to see now.
I'll take it.
Because he's got to outscore Lando by 4 points at Vegas.
No,
Lando's
got to score more than, hasn't he?
Is it? Has Lando got to outscore him by 4, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Or by 2, I think it is. So he probably will do that, I'd imagine. Unless he bottles it again. But,
he probably will bottle it. I reckon Leclerc's going to finish second overall at the end of the year. Lando,
I'm backing Ferrari for the constructors. I would love it if Ferrari beat McLaren.
That would be insane, wouldn't it? Well, they've broken their record, haven't they, Ferrari, for the longest time without winning any title.
Wow.
Which is, they just beat that this year.
Real quick, drive of the day, Max Verstappen.
I'll give you that one.
Good.
You can't really argue against it, to be fair. Like I tweeted out afterwards going, I love Formula 1, but I hate Formula 1. And it was solely for that.
Also, I want to talk about Norris's comment real quick.
Oh, yeah. I don't like
saying
that, though, Norris.
What the quote was, it's not talent, it's luck.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that is
that
out
was
of
quite
order.
Funny. The especially, red flag I can understand being salty about, because that was luck. But ultimately, Max had made moves beforehand, which
and
Norris
was
can by get
by far the fastest driver on track in not the best car.
I think that's unfair.
But like the thing that annoys me most is Norris's first race win back in Miami was gifted
was
by
luck.
A safety car, and Max stood up for him because media said, "Are you not annoyed that Lando won it by luck?" And Max was like, "These things come around, you know. He's a good driver."
Yeah, but at that point, he still thought he was absolutely going to dominate the world title again. Like, I'm sure if that happened, look at Sunday morning. Max was going on about, "Oh, it's so rigged against me," and all this, that, and the other, and I got the wrong passport. Like, he's no better. He's the problem
but
with both of them. They're both just quite
windy.
It was
a massive lack of class from Norris, and I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't
completely.
Like
yeah, but Max did that as well Sunday morning. So he's kind of, again, he kind of makes you respect, you know, your Hamiltons and things like that, Jamie, at the end of the day.
I respect Verstappen quite a lot.
I'm sure you do. But Lando Norris is still your profile picture on Twitter. When are you going to change that?
It's just
because
my picture
anymore.
With Gasly is rubbish.
You are,
and the Max one's way better. But it's also like 6 years old at this point, so Norris was
exactly.
quite likeable back then. He also wasn't on the grid. That's how old
he
that
also,
picture
yeah,
is.
Exactly. Exactly. I think the only positive, Jamie, I can take from this weekend, predictions recap, please.
Oh, dear. What did you say?
I love this.
To talk
I
about
love
as
this.
Well. I said Lando Norris would win the sprint race. Bang on.
0 points.
Oh,
no.
You two
he
points.
Did.
What
Sorry,
about?
You got two. I misread that one. Ignore me.
You said Charles Leclerc would win the sprint, so that's a big fat
so,
zero.
Yeah. What are the scores? Sorry, Dave, just remind us.
Oh, scores. You're ahead by 5. 71
yes.
to 66.
Yes.
You said Lando Norris would get pole position. Fair play.
2 points. So 2-2.
Yes. Two. It's a 2-2. I said Leclerc, so no points for me. Race results. We surprisingly didn't put two Alpines on the podium. I don't know why we didn't do that.
I honestly was banking it originally.
Yeah, yeah. I went Leclerc, Norris, Piastri. 0. You said Norris, Leclerc, Hamilton. 0.
Yeah, 2 each this weekend.
So we got 2 each.
Maximum 10.
Yes, great result. I might be putting Verstappen on my podium again from now on since he's the greatest driver on the grid.
I can't wait for Lewis to wipe the floor with him next year in a Ferrari that's competent until Ferrari
well, if
strategy
if he manages
screws
to beat
him.
Leclerc, then we'll worry about that first at this rate.
He'll beat Leclerc.
He can't
he
even
will.
Beat Russell.
He can! Is he ahead of him in the title still?
Not
he
anymore.
Is he? Is he not? Damn it. I mean, you can't, like, if you watch the onboards, how different those two cars are. Like, they've absolutely screwed.
They've taken onboards, one with dirty air, one without, by the way.
And then I've seen all the stuff that apparently Hamilton's going to get... He's gonna not do the last three Grand Prix. Oh, that's not gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen.
He's gonna stick it out to the end. Mercedes want to do a load of stuff with him, but it is a shame to see like putting him on different cars and stuff when ultimately it is screwing him. No, but how can you not buy him when it's literally on the technical?
But they're not. They won't be trying to screw him over. They're trying to do the right thing, and he's just not.
No, but they're trying. But they're trying to work out the car, aren't they? And of course, you're gonna put the driver that's leaving on the worst car,
yeah.
like to give you more data. At the end, like I can understand it from Mercedes, but it is sad when you think of the history they've had together and just how much he's getting screwed
yeah.
at the end of the year.
Yeah, but
that's
Lewis
what
should
I mean
drive
by
faster.
That. He's driving as quickly as he can, but it's still sad. He should just drive the MP4-5, which
yeah.
is glorious.
He's not been on great form recently, I'll say that.
He's been screwed, but there we are. Is that everything, Jamie? You said we have one thing to do with the sprint or something.
What did we?
You said something about the sprint, but I might have misheard you.
No, I don't think so.
Fair enough.
Just one more thing. Ollie Bearman now can't do the postseason test because he's done 3 Grand Prix, which means he's no longer a rookie. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
Unlucky. Although I would say that doing a race like Brazil is probably more valuable than a
more
sprint
More experience.
Session,
do you reckon they just session, let him get away with it anyway?
No.
He'll be able to do the postseason test, or he just won't be able to do the young driver test.
Yeah, that's it. Whichever one the rookies do, he can't do anymore.
But he'll be able to do the postseason test anyway.
Yes.
Because let's be fair, unless Magnussen's going to Sauber next year, he won't care.
No, Magnussen's just going to be on the vodka on Sunday night, totally, isn't he?
Exactly. Well, there we go then, Jamie. I mean, that's the first podcast I think we've done that's probably about an hour in length.
In
quite
a long
a while.
Time.
But I think it goes to show just how ridiculous this race
weekend
was.
We're here to celebrate
was.
The Max Verstappen World Championship number 4.
We're not. anything else? Well, I mean, we've got 2 weekends off now, haven't we? So we get a bit of a chance to recover.
Is it two? I thought it was just one.
No, it's 2 weekends off. Vegas is on like the 23rd,
so it
is. Isn't
yeah.
it?
Wow. Yeah.
So we get a bit of a break. I guess next week or the week after, we'll try and do our final tier list. Iceberg, sorry, I should say.
Yeah.
Because we've nearly got to the end of that. But thank you all, as always, so much for listening. Let us know your thoughts and feelings down in the comments below surrounding the Brazilian Grand Prix. And we will be back next week then, hopefully, with an iceberg.